The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Welcome to the Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me, and we're going to be here for the next hour on CBS Sports Network talking hoops. We appreciate you joining us. Did you realize the NCAA tournament actually starts in a few hours? We got a doubleheader, Wagner Howard, Virginia, Colorado State. It's the first four in Dayton on True TV. Deadleg. The ball's going to be tipped in a little more than, say, 5 hours. Have you already figured out, it's a March tradition, what channel True TV is in your home?
Yeah, you know what? Can we end this this outdated, like, tired cliche joke? In this era where people are streaming these games, and if you've got, you know, YouTube TV, this is easy to find. It's gonna auto-populate on your screen. I know where it is. I'll be dialed in right when the game tips.
You realize there are millions of Americans who still have traditional television, Deadleg. You're not discounting all of those folks, are you?
No, I'm actually giving them credit for knowing where to watch the basketball games and not insulting their intelligence trying to find it. That's all.
I bet you if I asked them right now what channel it is, you ready for this? DirecTV, give me True TV's channel. Go ahead.
I'm not a DirecTV subscriber. I've got YouTube
246.
TV.
246.
Let's go.
Dish Network, True TV's channel.
Dude, I haven't had
242. You're failing miserably
in my life.
AT&T UVerse 164, Verizon 183. If I didn't just cover you, check your local listings. First four. It's interesting because we rarely celebrate the winners. This is my perspective on it. At least the 16s are largely ignored. Not that they should be, but they largely are. And then no matter what happens in the game between the at-large teams, we rarely point to the winner and go, oh, wow, look at them, as much as we point at the loser and say, see, I told you, that they stunk. Do you agree with that assessment? No matter what happens tonight between Colorado State and Virginia, we're going to look at the loser of that game and say, see, I told you, they probably shouldn't have been in the NCAA tournament anyway. Is that where we're going to be when we go to bed?
Yeah. Not with Colorado State. So here's, and you know, let's remind our audience that tournament results don't validate inclusion or exclusion when it comes to selection, in my opinion anyway, because it's one single game sample size. With Virginia, I'm willing to make an exception. aren't you with Virginia? Aren't you willing to make an exception to this, Parrish?
I mean, they're 4-5 in their past 9 games. They've scored 40 points. They've scored in the 40s 4 times in their past 8 games. They just played 2 overtime games in the ACC tournament, couldn't crack 67 points in either of them. I am convinced if Virginia loses tonight that the entire commentary on the first four in Dayton will be about how Virginia didn't belong, as opposed to anything positive about Colorado State.
Yeah, and we're St. John's, you know, Rick Pitino dropping back into, this is the most miserable experience of my lifetime. With Colorado State, if it loses, they might have a little bit of the Mountain West stuff, but I'll just harp on what we mentioned on our Sunday episode of Ion College Basketball. And that's the Mountain West does have the deck stacked against it to a certain extent, or even more than a certain extent, to a definite extent here. And you've got Isaiah Stephens, who I think is probably like top five-ish point guard in the country. And he's got to either have Reese Beekman or Ryan Dunn guarding him. And those two, their ability to have, you know, really, really strong, consistent on-ball defense is among the best in the country. So Stephens is going to be swarmed tonight. It is an interesting matchup, no doubt about it. And we'll see if Virginia can score. Should we celebrate the winner? Of course, because that means you actually get to go and play in the tournament earnest, in the tournament proper, Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening there. So yeah, I'm excited for the game because I don't know what to expect from Virginia in this spot. Like, they get another chance. I'm picking Colorado State to win. I have it in my bracket, have it up on CBSSports.com or on your CBS Sports app, the bracket app. Check out Parrish's bracket and picks. Check out mine as well. But it would be so Tony Bennett if we get to triple zeros tonight and we look up and it's Virginia 59, Colorado State 48. I mean, it really would. But that being said, I will ride with the team that has been better and that will have the best player on the floor. That's Nico Medved's Rams.
Okay, let's say you're right. Let's say Colorado State wins this game. That will mean that Virginia closed this season 4-6 in its final 10. It will also mean Virginia will enter next season having not won a game in the NCAA tournament since it won the NCAA tournament. I think we both agree Tony Bennett is one of the great coaches in the sport and a future Naismith Memorial Hall of Famer. I think we can also both agree that, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, has the shine come off of this just a little bit over the past few years?
You know, dude, I don't feel like I've heard that a ton, right? Do you think that this... I don't think so, because it is Virginia and the story and the power of it, of coming back and winning the national championship. I think that's something that carries on and will be in the first paragraph of Tony Bennett's obituary decades and decades and decades from now, and is a major part of his legacy. I don't think so, but, and that's kind of bigger picture, if Virginia falls completely flat, you know, for that fan base, I think that it just becomes a more than a bit concerning, because there have been these seasons that have ended with a whimper and maybe a little bit of a thing. But I think that the power of that national championship and how they won it carries so much significance that I think it has erased a lot of the residue that was there with him before that.
I'm not very high on Virginia right now, but I'm also not interested in talking about Tony Bennett's obituary. I think it's a little too soon for that.
Okay, that's fine. Then keep it moving.
I think it's a little too soon to be talking about Tony Bennett's obituary, but I do think if they lose tonight, what I'm telling you is a fact. And I know we didn't have a tournament in 2020, so nobody won a game that year. But I mean, did you ever think we would, on the night you'll watch Tony Bennett win a national championship? And I know you were there trying to get in between he and his father.
That was the Elite Eight. Let's be clear.
We wouldn't see Tony Bennett win another NCAA tournament game until at least 2025. Because if they don't win tonight, that will be the reality.
I think I said it that night in 2019. And you refused.
I remember.
You refused to give me credit for this. I was the only one.
No, I gave you credit.
Okay. No, I was the only one that night saying you're not going to see this man win a tournament game for at least five more years.
That's exactly. I remember you saying that. It was a wild observation on the night of the national championship. But hey, look where we are now. Hey, before we get out of here, Wednesday's first four game is going to be Colorado-Boise State. Get me excited for that one. It's another Mount West team that I think got misseeded. Shouldn't even be in this game, but, you know, they got to play in it anyway.
And you know what? People aren't talking about that enough. They shouldn't have been there, but they got to play in it anyway, right? People aren't talking about that. They don't have a choice. They can't just go and show up somewhere in a different region on Thursday and say, no, this is where we're playing. They got to go and they got to play the game on Wednesday. I'd love it if it was the other way around, though. If they could just outright protest, say, no, we're not playing that. We're putting ourselves in the field 64 right now.
That's what they should have done. They should have tried it at least. I mean, they should have at least tried it. You know what? I'm surprised one of the Big East coaches didn't. They're so mad. The Big East coaches are so mad. I'm surprised one of them
is not just rolling up in Salt Lake City right now.
Yeah, Shaheen Holloway, Kim English just going to show up in Indianapolis with the Friars being like, we're playing, man. I don't know what you guys deal with this bracket, but we're going to play.
Hold on. It's the Pirates. Shaheen Holloway coaches the Friars. You said the Friars. I don't know if you caught that.
Making
a group thing. How about Shaheen Holloway, Kim English, co-head coaches. You combine Seton Hall and Providence and let's just roll.
I said Kim English and I said the Friars. I was trying to add more names and schools to our Big East conversation.
Oh, that's just incredible. As for the game, Colorado, Boise State Wednesday. Boise State, yeah, I mean, listen, they have a win over St. Mary's in addition to having defeated, I think, every Mountain West team in the tournament except Utah State, also underseeded as an 8. I like Colorado in the game. Colorado, 24-win team, and the most talented team of any team that's going to play in Dayton. KJ Simpson has been tremendous this season. He's a 45% three-point shooter. Between him playing guard and really being a good playmaker for Colorado, setting up Tristan Da Silva down low. They have Cody Williams, who's a freshman, the younger brother of Jalen Williams, who plays at Oklahoma City, former Santa Clara star who turned his career into a surprise lottery pick selection. He's been awesome. His younger brother's actually was rated much, much, much higher coming out of high school. Cody Williams has been a good player this season. And then you add in Eddie Lampkin, who's just a boss on the low block there. I like Colorado more in this spot than Boise State. It's a tough draw. And the thing about this is if Boise State doesn't win, I believe it's 0-9 in the tournament all time, GP. And that is the most appearances for any team in the tournament without a win in the event's history here. We'll see if Leon Rice and Co. can finally snap that drought.
They should stop. They should try to do that. They should stop losing in the tournament so much.
I think they're going to try. I think they're aware and they're going to give their best effort here.
They should give it their best shot. And they got an opportunity here in the first four. Just to touch on Boise State being underseeded, like if not every other Mountain West team, certainly most Mountain West teams, Boise State 26 in the net, 9-9 in the first two quadrants, 6 quadrant one wins. They do have quadrant three loss, but only one. So that's it. 9-9 in the first two quadrants, 6 quadrant one wins. Michigan State is 9-14 in the first two quadrants. Only 3 quadrant one wins. They do have a clean loss column in quadrant three, quadrant four. But Boise State is 5 games better in the first two quadrants than Michigan State, with twice as many quadrant one wins as Michigan State. Boise State in the first four, Michigan State safely in the field as a 9 seed. How, dead leg? Why? How'd that happen?
I mean, committee got twisted. What do you want? We've got committee trickers left and right here in this bracket, and it's led to inconsistency. But you know what? I'll say this. It's Tuesday afternoon. We've had almost 48 hours since the bracket came out. You know what? I'll wash my hands. I'm done. I'm psyched about the tournament now. I'll accept the seeds where they are, the teams where they are in the bracket. I want to see these games. I want to get excited. I think we're going to have an incredible tournament. We've only got a few more hours before this thing can definitely remain perfectly clean. So I accept it for what it is. I love it for what it is. The best event there is in sports, and I'm ready for these games.
Less than 6 hours to go. When we come back, let's talk about some games, or at least some possible games. Obviously, nothing is guaranteed in the NCAA tournament, as Purdue. But there are some round of 32 games we'd like to see if we get our wishes granted. We'll talk about them next. It's the Eye on College Basketball Podcast, CBS Sports Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Ion College Basketball Podcast. I am Gary Parrish, joined by Matt Norlander. And as you know, nothing is guaranteed in the NCAA tournament, but we all get our brackets on Selection Sunday and we start dreaming. We take a pencil or a pen, maybe even a marker if we're really confident, and start going through the bracket. We all have round of 32 games, second round games we'd like to see. So with this in mind, Norlander, let's go through it. If I give you a round of 32 game, you can go ahead and make it happen right now. Snap your fingers. What would you make happen right now?
You know what, GP? I'm going to pick a game that I have projected in my bracket. I will be there on Sunday. I'll go James Madison versus Duke. So the Dukes versus Duke. JMU's got to get past Wisconsin first. That is a 12 over 5 that feels trendier by the hour. And so I'm getting a little more wary of the possibility of this happening because some of these 12 over 5s, they seem to get so popular that it almost feels like the universe just flexes back and says, nope, you're not going to get that. JMU, though, has won 13 in a row and is a quality team. TJ Bickerstaff, a legit big man. And the idea of him going against Kyle Filipowski. Filipowski's got an inch or two on him and he's got a little weight on him. But Bickerstaff is good. Terrence Edwards, quality player. And JMU's got a couple of guys that can launch from deep. Julian Wooden specifically, better than 40% from the field. And Duke has been a good team, certainly not a great team this season. James Madison has 31 wins. I got asked earlier in the day on CBS Sports HQ who my most likely FAU candidate is for this tournament. And I actually don't think that there's a team like FAU was built a season ago. Doesn't mean we won't get a shocker run to the Final Four. But among all of them, the team I think would have the best potential path and combined with their overall ability, it's JMU. So at the top of my list, most desired second round matchup on the board, give me the Dukes versus Duke.
If you're looking for another FAU or before that, George Mason or VCU, Loyola Chicago, certainly James Madison is a place to look. I think Grand Canyon might be another place to look. I'm not predicting this, but I'll just start with my preferred round of 32 matchups in the top left corner of your bracket, and I'll include FAU. The Owls have to get past Northwestern. That won't be simple. Shouts to Boo Booey. But if Florida Atlantic wins, and we're assuming UConn gets past Stetson, then we get UConn FAU in the round of 32. Dan Hurley, Dusty May, two schools who were both in last season's Final Four. Obviously, UConn would be a big favorite in that game. I would suspect that UConn gets past it. But just because I think Florida Atlantic is overseeded and that Florida Atlantic should have been closer to out than an eight, and that Florida Atlantic had a disappointing season relative to preseason expectations, they were 10th in the preseason AP poll. This is still a quality basketball team. They still own a win over Arizona. And if you go and look at their losses, they have a bunch and some to bad teams, but nobody just whipped them. You know, they were in basically every single game and they've got a lot of close losses. Again, UConn will be a big favorite. I suspect if we get UConn FAU, UConn wins probably comfortably, but I am a big fan of the storylines and having, you know, the Cinderella of last season's tournament meeting the reigning national champions in the round of 32. I think that'd be a fun way to spend the second round of the NCAA tournament.
Can I give you another one, GP?
Please.
So how about this one? I actually have Gonzaga playing Samford in my bracket. But if the exact opposite result plays out, you know what we'd have? We'd have McNeese, coached by Will Wade, playing Kansas, coached by Bill Self. And earlier on Tuesday, I ran a story about every coach in the tournament, their favorite band or musical artist. As coincidence would have it, Will Wade and Bill Self share a favorite. It's Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's not why this is my pick, though, because as Will Wade told me when I reached out to him about a week or so ago for this answer, and I already knew that Bill Self had given me Earth, Wind, and Fire, Will Wade's response to me was, wow, not the only thing we have in common. And by that, he is referencing the fact that they were both highly publicized and attached to the FBI scandal and everything that went on for about 5 years. Will Wade, thriving at McNeese, very much a sense of humor. I got a bunch of good quotes for the story. Will Wade, a one seed with that quote. Unbelievable. So Bill Self versus Will Wade, second round FBI division, is absolutely on the board for me. That would be quite entertaining.
I genuinely appreciate the way Will just kind of owns it. Like, I understand you can only say so much while you're fighting for your job and, you know, trying to make millions of dollars for as long as you can. But in a sport where so many of these guys are like, I don't know what anybody's talking about, I would never do that. Like, Will is shaking hands with students dressed up as FBI agents. You know, you remember those scenes?
I do remember that.
And he's making this joke here. He can laugh about the same things we laugh about, right? Like, if you made a great strong ass offer joke, and maybe it's hard to do now because it's so old and so dated, and honestly, the country's filled with coaches making strong ass offers right now. Like, from coast to coast, everybody's making strong ass offers.
Portal is open. That's happening by the hour. Yes.
Oh, the portal's open. Strong ass offers everywhere. But like, Will would laugh if you made a good joke about it, even at his expense. He would laugh at about it rather than get mad about it. And I can appreciate that. And he's built an absolute monster at McNeese State already. And that's why I suspect at some point you're going to see him back at the high major level. I wish, just to sort of lean into it a little more, you would have reached out to him and said, hey, Will, favorite artist, putting it together for the bracket. And he would have said, the Police. Couldn't he have said the Police? Yeah, that would have been. Wouldn't that have been good? Like, I'm just a big Sting fan.
The Police. Incredible.
Change it. I'm sure he won't even mind. Just change it on the post. Yeah. Make Will Wade's favorite band the Police, because I think it plays better that way. If I could go with another round of 32 game, how about in the Midwest region? Number 2, Tennessee, meeting up with number 7, Texas, in the second round. That would obviously be Rick Barnes against his former school. It's interesting. I think most of us understood when Texas moved on from Rick Barnes why it wanted to move on from Rick Barnes. The program had plateaued a bit. They were no longer recruiting at a high level, especially in the state. It made complete sense to me that in that moment, even though Rick had been consistently really good for a long, long time, in that moment, if you would have asked me, and I said, yeah, it's probably time. I understand what Texas is doing. Do you realize Texas is on its third coach since it fired Rick Barnes?
Crazy.
Texas is on its third coach since it fired Rick Barnes, and Tennessee still has Rick Barnes. There is no, it's a little bit like, you know, if you're an NFL fan, who did better after the divorce, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? Pretty clear, Tom Brady. Who's done better after the divorce, Rick Barnes or Tennessee? Rick Barnes or Texas, it's clearly Rick Barnes at Tennessee as opposed to the University of Texas. But this wouldn't just be Rick against his former school. It would be Rick against his longtime and former assistant, Rodney Terry. Again, basketball games are basketball games. I like the good ones as much as anybody else, but I really enjoy the storylines. And I think Rick Barnes against Texas, Rick Barnes against Rodney Terry, that's a fun round of 32 storyline.
Yeah, that's probably, I think that's the biggest one in terms of coach against former school that's out there. We've got one that's already happening in the first round with T.J. Otzelberger coaching against Iowa State. But yeah, the Texas one in general, because he was automatic there, only made one Final Four. And now you can make the argument that Barnes is best equipped basically since he had Kevin Durant to make a Final Four run. Now, he's had other really good teams, and part of the knock on Barnes is he's a 500 coach in the tournament. He's been to like 27 of them. Can they break through here? That's an intriguing one. The Texas would be that would be fascinating if they can indeed break through there. I'm looking forward to it if it happens.
Just to clarify, T.J. Otzelberger coaching for Iowa State against South Dakota State, his former school.
Did I demote him?
Yeah. You had him coaching against Iowa State, which would be, a wild tournament. I've never seen a coach coach against his own team in the NCAA tournament, but if anybody could do it, I think it's T.J.
Oh, man, that's too great. Well, I love this show. Good stuff.
If anybody could do it, I think it's TJ. Hey, Norlander, you mentioned the transfer portal. Hundreds of players. It just opened Monday, and it's like a new iPhone got released. That's the rush on this thing. The transfer portal opened yesterday. There's already roughly 500 players in it. Should it open so early, or is this a big problem within the sport? We'll talk about that next. It's the Eye on College Basketball Podcast. We're on CBS Sports Network.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Welcome back to Ion College Basketball Podcast. We're on CBS Sports Network, and it's not just the week of the NCAA tournament. It's also the week of the opening of the transfer portal. It opened on Monday. There's already roughly 500 players in it. Doug McDaniel from Michigan, Sincere Parker from St. Louis, basically Pepperdine's entire team, best I can tell, already in the portal. Norlander, should the transfer portal be opening in the middle of what is still the 2023-24 season? Because this feels a lot like what would happen if, say, we started NBA free agency on, like, the opening day of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, it should not be open right now. And last, quick rewind to last summer when these discussions were ongoing with the Men's Basketball Oversight Committee and the NABC Coaches Panel, and because this happened a year ago, the portal opened the Monday after Selection Sunday, and you know it is causing, I think, a lot of frustrations in the sport. I want to be clear about one thing in particular. If a team season is over, yes, you cannot prevent, nor should you prevent. I mean, if a player wants to announce he intends to enter the transfer portal, you can't stop that. They want to put it on social media, whatever. But there is a tangible difference between that and actually being officially in the portal and enabling yourself to be contacted officially by other schools and going through that process and formal reporting of that. Those are two different things. And this should, like, I hope this is the last time we are talking the day, 2 days after Selection Sunday, about the portal being open and 500, 700, 800 players being in it this quickly. Most coaches do not want this. And by most, I mean north of 85%. I mean, there are coaches at mid-majors that say our season's done, you know, the week before, 5 days before Selection Sunday. And it actually helps me to do this. But for the betterment of the sport, portal should not be open. Get this thing out of my face until after the Elite Eight is finished. I understand you cannot wait till, you know, the middle of April. I'm not asking for that. I'm not even asking you for to wait till the Tuesday after the championship game. I think a perfect compromise of this is let us play the Elite Eight. The Monday after the Elite Eight, you can then open it up, you know, 8 a.m. Monday after the Elite Eight finishes, going into the Final Four. And if you want to make that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday about guys that are moving and shaking, that's fine because there's only four teams left that are playing. But right now, it's bad. And obviously, as you well know, we talked about this yesterday, it's affecting the NIT. It could kill the NIT. And we should be talking only about brackets, snubs, Final Four picks, things we can't wait to look forward to, the storylines there. That's what this should be about. It should not be guys going in the portal. And this is a symptom of college sports always just being a little too slow to kind of adapt and figure things out. They could have changed this. They could have made this a 30-day window, started the Monday after Selection Sunday, but instead they shortened it to 45 days and they chopped off that 15-day window, GP, on the back end, not at the start of it. They got that wrong. It should be flipped.
It's just dumb. Like it's one of those frustrating things where, you know, it doesn't really impact my life. I'm not a college basketball coach, but it's dumb. Like I don't even, this is one of those deals where like you could have, you, this window was created recently and you could have put it anywhere. Why put it here? Like it makes no sense. If let's just use your number. If 85% of college basketball coaches don't want the window right now, why do we have the window right now? Like it makes no sense. You are asking people, think about this, asking people right now, let's just talk about Nebraska. Let's make them the face of this thing. Not sure that they should be. Let's just, it's an easy one. Nebraska just made the NCAA tournament. Trying to get its first NCAA tournament win ever. Is that right?
The only high major school without a win to its name in the tournament in its history. That's right.
It's a big week. I bet they're working long hours. There is somebody on Nebraska staff, whether it's Fred Hoiberg or an assistant, who had to make a decision today. Do I continue to prep and get ready for our first round NCAA tournament game where we are trying to do something nobody has ever done in the history of this school? Or do I spend my time in the transfer portal? Somebody had to make that decision today. You should not have to make a decision in the most important professional week of your year about whether or not you need to focus on that because this other thing now requires your attention. It's outrageous. It would be like if you were asking NBA general managers to focus on free agency right in the middle of the NBA playoffs. Like, hey, I'm busy. We got other things going on. It's just stupid. And you say that we can't wait until the middle of April. I'm not even suggesting that we should, but tell me why we can't. Why can't we?
The reason I get from the coaches in the game that actually have to worry about doing this and portal retention is you want to have at least a little, once the season is over, you have to recruit back most of your roster. And the longer that you take that into either the end of March or the middle of April, the tougher it becomes because now you got to bring in these guys. It's an accelerated window with portal. In addition to, oh, by the way, they still do recruit high school players, you know, thousands of them every year are entering into men's Division I basketball. So, there are some that believe it should wait until after the end of the Final Four. And I would welcome that entirely, but in talking to, I don't even know how many people, like dozens and dozens and dozens, it feels like the compromise that appeases both the high majors and the lowest of the low is the Monday after the Elite Eight. I personally would prefer to wait until the tournament's done and the season's over, and then you get an entire second wave of free agency that can churn the content machine for our sport, GP, and our podcast and everything we got to write into April. That's fine. I don't think we're going to get there because too many mid-majors and low majors, from what they tell me, that is really damaging to their capacities to build rosters. And that should matter too, obviously, because there's 362 teams in this sport.
Yeah, I'm willing to compromise on it, but I don't understand why it wouldn't be practical and if not preferable to just put it at, you know, the Tuesday after the national championship game. We're going to finish this season and then we'll start to look ahead to next season. And that way, not a single staff in America is asked to divide up their attention. You shouldn't be on your way to the Elite Eight and also having to really focus on the transfer portal, or else next season might not be as good as this one. You should be able to have your undivided attention on the task at hand. So let's push all the other tasks back until those are done, and the Tuesday after the national championship gets that done. By the way, this is also, and I think you touched on this, among the reasons why the NIT is struggling. Rick Pitino, do you know why he said St. John's turned down an invitation to the NIT? It wasn't simply because his team is laterally slow and physically weak. It's not simply because they think it's beneath them. I mean, it could be all those things. But one thing he absolutely said is, we think it's best for us to start focusing on next season. The Memphis athletic director, Laird Veach, just said yesterday after meeting with Penny Hardaway, I agree with Penny's decision to not participate in the NIT. We think it's best for us to start focusing on next year. And it really is. Like, how could you argue against that? Penny Hardaway, Rick Pitino, what's more important? Spending your time preparing your team and traveling to games to where even if you win them, your fan base really doesn't care or celebrate it that much. Is your time best spent doing that, or best spent re-recruiting your team and also, looking into the transfer portal to try to figure out what your team might look like next season? Well, if the transfer portal is already open, I don't think there's any debate what is the best use of Rick Pitino's time or Chris Beard's time or Penny Hardaway's time or Mike Woodson's time or any coach's time whose team has already turned down an invitation to the NIT. So the way that the transfer portal window has been positioned gives coaches an easy and obvious reason to skip out on the NIT. So if you actually care about that event, well, then this is something that needs to be addressed as well. And honestly, pushing back the transfer window, and then I'll turn it back over to you, as far as possible, I don't think is the worst idea, because sometimes I think people make rash decisions at the end of a season. And if you gave them a little time where you said, hey, you're not allowed to make that decision yet, they might reach a different decision after you take some emotion out of it. And there's a little bit of distance between the end of this season and when it is you're being asked to make that decision. You know, there are laws in certain states where you have to be separated for an extended amount of time before you can actually legally get divorced. Because what they have found in these states is that people will get divorced and then go, did we really want to do that? That was a quick decision. I think moving the transfer window, portal window back could let people, like, the emotions settle down a little bit. And then you actually can look around and make the best decision for you. So I'm not saying anything is perfect, but there's better ways to do this. And for the life of me, I can't understand why we're doing the transfer portal this way.
Yeah, and I think an important thing to keep in mind here is that this is still player empowerment. They are going to ultimately have the decision, although you and I both know that there are cases and have been cases and will continue to be cases, unfortunately, where a player just might not fit and a coach and a staff might be all too good with, like, no, go. And that might be encouraging, or it might be like, no, you got to go. But for the most part, these players are going to be able to make these decisions. And even if they privately make them in the middle of February and they're not talked out of it, or if they come to it, it's a tough decision on March 11th, but then, you know, instead of the portal opening on March 18th in a given year, it opens on March 29th. And maybe they have a second thought, and maybe it ultimately works out. I agree. And it's a major, it should be a major decision to switch what you are doing, switch schools, where you're going to play. I know it's often treated like these guys are just tossing these off willy nilly. I don't think that's always entirely the case. I don't think we give players enough credit sometimes for the decisions that go in. But if you step out and you take a 10,000 foot view, I get it. It seems like everyone wants to go everywhere. They're looking for their money. I'm not even saying that's not sometimes the case, but for the betterment of the sport and to keep the attention where it should be on the biggest event, in my opinion, the best event in American sports, get this portal opening. Get it out of my face this week. I don't want it anywhere near the first week of the tournament, and I don't want it near the second week of the tournament. Open it after the Elite Eight at minimum. Hopefully the noise and the commotion around this over the past 36 hours, when it comes time to actually make these decisions with college basketball's power brokers in late summer and early fall, hopefully they remember what everyone's talking about right now so that they can activate it so we don't have to go through this again.
And just what you touched on is another reason to move this window deeper into the calendar. We have a 5-segment show. The NCAA tournament starts tonight. We spent one of those segments on the transfer portal. If the transfer portal wasn't open right now, you know what we'd spent that segment on? Something NCAA tournament related. It's not good for the sport. Push it back. It's the only sensible thing to do. When we come back, we will turn our attention to the coaching carousel. Ohio State is filled, but Louisville's still open. Michigan's still open. Washington, Vanderbilt, some big jobs out there. I'll pepper Norlander on it next. It's the Ion College Basketball Podcast, CBS Sports Network. Welcome back to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. As we get ready for the start of the 2024 NCAA tournament, the coaching carousel continues to spin. Ohio State, that job's now filled. Congrats to Jake Diebler. But there are big jobs still out there. And let's start with perhaps the two biggest. Back in 2013, Norlander, you might remember this. Louisville and Michigan played in the national championship game. Now they both need basketball coaches. Let's start with Louisville. What direction do you think that one's headed right now?
Good question. Right now, well, there is a candidate at both of these programs here, and we'll see if he winds up getting it. He's coaching in the tournament. Louisville, there's a curiosity if Scott Drew is still heavily being pursued after Louisville, of course, fired Kenny Payne as expected. Would Scott Drew actually leave Baylor to go to Louisville? Dusty May, a candidate worth looking into and has been, you know, obviously a target for that school for a little bit here, but we're in this window where the job has been open and Dusty May still coaching a team, and we'll have to wait and see on how far he goes in the tournament and FAU goes, because he's also a candidate at Michigan. I don't know if he will end up at one of these two places. I will predict he does. Don't know which school is making the harder push. I think both of them are very, very interested, but if it's not Drew or if it's not Dusty May at Louisville, who is it going to be? I mean, that's a very, very good job. Highly prestigious. Was told that, you know, they were looking into Josh Schertz. I don't know if not making the tournament hurts his chances whatsoever. Some people would say, hey, if you know you got your guy, you got your guy. And some people say, well, it's hard if you're Louisville to hire, say, a Josh Schertz to your program if he's not in the tournament. They have. I've been told that Louisville has reached out to a few other candidates as well and just done, you know, the athletic director there has done some searching there. With Michigan, I was told on Monday that multiple candidates for Michigan are coaching in the tournament. And so not to expect anything like really to develop for at least a week here, because we got to get through the weekend. We'll see if that's the case. I think Dusty May is probably at the top of the list. But what's interesting is there are not a lot of high profile candidates for what I would consider to be Louisville top 10 job. And I think Michigan has a claim, GP, to be a top 20 job overall. We'll see where Dusty lands. He was initial target for West Virginia as well, but these two jobs are a little bit bigger than that. And he's never had a losing season at a place that had basically no winning history before it. So I do anticipate him to land at one of those two, but if you ask me to predict right now, I actually think it's 50-50. I don't know where he'll go.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You get the answer right. Oasis tours in 2025, and you can wear your shirt to a stadium tour. Dusty May is either coaching Michigan or Louisville next season. Yes or no?
Yes, yes. And give me an Oasis. If this can bring Oasis back, bring the band back together. Oh, please, please. Yes, he's coaching either Michigan or Louisville next season. That is my guess. And I don't know where, but if you made me pick one or the other, this is a guess. I would pick Michigan narrowly. But I'm telling you, when I say toss up, I mean toss up.
I would pick Louisville.
I would take Louisville if I was Dusty May. I would take Louisville. But my pick, I think, is Michigan. But I would take Louisville. It's the better job. It's a better job in an easier conference now. And I don't know, like the ACC, it's had some coaching changes. I just think it's a better entry point. Financially, I don't think that the schools are far apart whatsoever. Now, the ACC is the ACC, and Michigan's in the Big Ten, and there's going to be an influx of money and NIL and availability. That means a lot to a lot of these coaches. So I think that's also in play there as well. Kind of maybe why I lean ever so slightly to Michigan, but I'm told Louisville money is no object there and they will be willing to hire and bring in as much money. I was also told Kenny Payne was never once told no when it came to NIL. It was mismanaged quite a bit.
Right. Yeah. Louisville's not going to lose a money game. Not with this one. Cause this is one where they got to get it right. You know, I'm not sure that they got the Chris Mack hire wrong. I just think it went poorly. I don't know that they got it wrong. I think if you could go back in time and just start all over with Chris Mack, it'd probably work just fine. But it went poorly. And then the Kenny Payne thing was just a disaster. I don't think they can afford to miss again. So money cannot be an object here. I think they'll get the guy they're after, and I think it'll be Dusty May. What would be more improbable? What would be more impressive? Dusty May taking FAU to a Final Four or getting the Gallagher brothers back together?
The Gallagher brothers, no doubt. If you can reunite Oasis, that's better than winning. That's better than Wooden at UCLA. Okay, I'm going.
I think that's right.
Right now, quick GP. If I can tour around some other high majors where we're at. DePaul hired Holtman, obviously. Ohio State gets Diebler. Oklahoma State, kind of wait and see. I almost wonder if James Madison coach Mark Byington might be a decent candidate there, or Josh Schertz, who's also been connected to the St. Louis opening. Schertz has also been connected to the Vanderbilt. Schertz has been connected to every single job. Well, God bless him. He's absolutely a very, very hot mid-major name. Chris Mack, you mentioned him. There's a perception that he might have a decent shot at Vanderbilt. We'll see. Vanderbilt has already interviewed a number of candidates. Washington is open. Danny Sprinkle has been the primary name there, but they're gonna do their diligence, and we'll see on that. And then Stanford is open. Kyle Smith of Washington State, they're getting downgraded to the WCC. It would only be natural for a coach in his position to consider other options that are remaining at the high major level. And I would put Stanford as the leader there. But you know what? Even if I'm Michigan and let's say Dusty May goes to Louisville, I'm not saying Kyle Smith needs to be like the number two there, but he's a really good coach. And I think he can work in a number of different spots there. But I think Stanford is the most logical fit. And he has previous West Coast ties, obviously, having coached at the University of San Francisco.
Hey. We'll get it all figured out at some point. Louisville eventually going to have a coach. Michigan, Vanderbilt, Washington, Stanford. When we know who they are, we'll let you know who they are, and then we'll talk about them. We come back. We got a few minutes left. Let's pick tonight's games. First four in Dayton. It's Wagner Howard, Colorado State, Virginia. We'll do that next. The Ion College Basketball Podcast, CBS Sports Network. Couple minutes left in the Ion College Basketball Podcast here on CBS Sports Network. Might as well pick tonight's games. We got a doubleheader. Starts at 6:40 Eastern. It's on True TV. Wagner Howard followed by 9:10 Eastern. True TV, Colorado State, Virginia. It's the first four in Dayton. Let's start with that first game, Dead Leg. Wagner Howard, who you got advancing?
Should I pick based on the musical choices of the coaches that actually provided this to me? If it's Howard, that's Kenny Blakeney going with a DC go-go band, the Backyard Band, and then Donald Copeland Wagner right there on Staten Island went with Jay-Z. I think that Howard's the better team, and I love go-go music. I will go. Give me Howard to win and cover. Howard also has Seth Towns, who's in his seventh year. He's dealt with injuries, started his career at Harvard. Great player, Ohio State. Give me the Bison to win.
Going with Wagner simply because of Jay-Z. Get your rocks up. 9:10 Eastern, True TV. Colorado State against Virginia. What you got in this one, Norlander?
You're wondering the musical choices here. Nico Medved of Colorado State gave me Prince. Tony Bennett, his number two choice was Her, which I was, that's incredible. Give me Her. He's like, I got to stay true, though. He likes a Christian outfit called Maverick City Music out of Atlanta. But Her is a strong number two from Tony Bennett. That is tremendous stuff. I will go with Prince and Nico Medved and Isaiah Stevens to win this one. And I'll even give you a score. Give me the Rams 63-57.
What is the slowest band in the world? That's who Tony Bennett's favorite band is.
Really, you want some shoegaze, or you want post rock is what you want. You want the slowest band
in the world. 1990. I am also taking Colorado State 14-11. Colorado State beats Virginia tonight 14-11 to advance out of the first four. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry, Eagle legend. Shouts to Hunt Larnell. Thank you guys for watching the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, please go subscribe. We'll talk to you again real soon. Until then, take care.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever! The Challenge All-Stars, new season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.